Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my freaky darlings, and welcome to this episode of the Black Lace Diaries, brought to you by Late Night Poets at allpoetry.com. The group hosts shows every night of the week on a variety of topics to ensure that there is something for everyone to enjoy. And if you want to support our shows, we have anthologies available on Amazon, which boast a wonderful selection of poetry offered up by the poets of our group. Tonight, we dive behind the veil of intimacy and look at the games you can play to heighten the senses, crawl inside your lover's mind and make their imaginations run wild, or perhaps even allow us to give over to raw carnality. In the end, there are no losers, so long as we stick to the rules. Tonight, we're going off of a contest that looked at the beauty of a shibari rope. It's a lifestyle. It's an art, even, of binding your lover, binding the person that you are with in these intricate, beautiful knots that often looks more like artwork than actual bondage, and yet is an opportunity to be freed even with your hands tied behind your back. And I'm really excited for the poems that it inspired. And as always, the wonderful and amazing Pam is helping me behind the scenes. How are you doing tonight, Pam?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited to be here. I'm excited for this night, for these poems. I think it's going to be great.
Absolutely.
And speaking of guests, do we have anyone on the phones just yet?
We do, yes. I have some people to bring on. First of all, we have Bobby. Welcome, Bobby.
Good evening.
Hey, Bobby, how are you doing?
Well, I'm fine, but I have a question. Is Voice of Sexy is yours legal?
I love you, Bobby.
I don't think it's legal in some states.
If you would like to call, then press 5. Be sure to enter your credit card. It is $5 a minute.
Well, that sounds like the Voice of Experience to me. Scary.
I may have had some practice with some long-distance relationships, and sometimes you just have to make things work. So,
no, believe me, I understand. And when we still had caller ID, the shouting commands, drill commands in the Marine Corps made my voice very deep. And so when we got caller ID, and I put a message on there. My other half says, have fun. And so I said, hi, I'm not Bobby. I'm not Tony. You know, tell me everything.
All right. Well, I do have two more people to bring on. So here we go.
Sorry,
we
go ahead. Go ahead.
Faziana. I'll be quiet.
Welcome. Glad you could join us.
Thank you.
Hi, Faze.
And then we have area code 630. You're on the air. Who are we speaking to?
My name's Haiku Margie.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm very flattered.
Absolutely. And I am going to ask, did you by chance get to submit to the contest? Not seeing
yes,
that.
I did.
Will go and pull your poem while we're at it. But Bobby, I know that you can't be here for super, super long, so I'm going to have you start off the show if you don't mind.
Oh, I don't mind. I didn't say it to be front-loaded. I just wanted to let you know my time is kind of limited because I have an early day tomorrow.
No, I just appreciate knowing that I've got someone on the air who can read immediately, and it will give me a moment to go and pull Haiku Margie's poem. So.
Sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, if we got everybody that's called in on the phone already.
Pam?
Okay, here I am.
Oh, yes.
All
right. If there was anybody else.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
I didn't want to step on anybody. I kind of went at this from a different angle. I know some of the poets out there are very comfortable with being very explicit. I'm one of those people that less is more, and I like to leave people using their imagination. So that kind of that preamble lets you know what's going on in my head when I wrote this. Bound by your words, St. Andrew's cross will remain empty tonight. It shall have no playmate. Crops and floggers are put aside, for even leather requires respite. Toughness and strength of will have been established, pain thresholds tested to exhaustion. So tonight, we shall do something divergent, you and I, and we'll test other limits in different ways. The maestro shall employ his master skill tonight, attestation, declaration, dictate, words, inflection, intonation, modulation, words, exclamation, utterance, murmur, words, words to explore, investigate, test, words to control and command, words to titillate and arouse, words to elevate and enrapture, sonorous words to capture and captivate and hold fast your listener, words in a voice lush and luxurious, seductive and intoxicating, leather words to secure limbs across cool bed linens, tracing the four points of the compass, immobilizing willing flesh for what is to come, silken words sliding across skin, obscuring the windows of the soul, eliminating all distractions, focusing the remaining senses, feathery words teasing sensitive nerve endings, exquisitely murmured excruciations, delicately whispered torments, deliciously susurrant secrets. Iron words to claim and constrain, challenge, compel, provoke, possess, to shackle sinew and soul with sound and syllable, imprisoning all resistance with inviting promise. Ermine words, caressing unencumbered skin, igniting desire, fanning arousal, mapping a trail, kindling sparks across bare flesh, revisiting familiar frontiers, exploring new ones. Then wordlessly, connection continues with touch and taste, brush and stroke and kiss, with pet and probe and partake, and smooth, sweeping, scrutinization and submission. Language lost in the sweet occupation of mouth and tongue, murmurs and moans, and indistinguishable vocalizations, a tangle of limbs, a wash in a sea of sweet sweat, as rolls become muddled, topping from the bottom. There can be release from the restraints, freedom from the flogger, liberty from the lash. All manner of device pales by comparison to the power of your voice, the seduction of your words. We need no chronicle, you and I. Flesh is the narrative and will remember. Synapses record enough to take account of the secrets disclosed and shared tonight. And I am the record keeper. For you have inscribed on my willing frame and spirit with incomparable articulation, will endure as our magnum opus, a private volume orchestrated by your voice and poetized by your words. And fun.
Wow, Bobby. So I'm sitting here and each stanza that you went through, you joked about my voice being, you know, illegal, but I think this poem shouldn't be legal because each stanza
you
added to it. It was, oh, I'm sitting here and I was like, okay, I have goosebumps. This is great. And then you'd start on silken words and I was like, oh, I have more goosebumps. So it was, I loved how you built upon each one, the idea that St. Andrew's Cross will remain empty tonight. So we aren't playing with toys. We aren't being bound with our hands above our heads and our feet, you know, spread eagle, basically. But instead, we're going to play with the mind. We're going to weave a web of words in which they will fall into. And I love particularly those sensations, the idea of leather words that secure the limb. I'm getting goosebumps again reading this. Silken words gliding across the skin, feathery words. Each of those have very distinct feels. And yet, when you are with someone, they can have those. There can be those fun little feather-like words that just kind of tease along your neck. There can be the biting words of desire. There can be the iron words that just kind of sting and yet in all the right ways. And I feel like you really caught that, the way that play can be done, not just physically, but with mentally, how you can bind someone and make them writhe with your words. And I loved particularly, where was it? We will need no chronicle, you and I. fleshes the narrative and will remember synapses record enough to take account of the secrets disclosed and shared tonight. Oh God, this was so fantastic. The way that you wove in sensory in there to create this almost physical response, and yet at the same time, it just feels like a mental game. That was marvelous, Bobby, truly.
Thank you. I agonized over this one. I really did, because I wanted to do something sensual, but I wanted to go at it by what I wanted to call it cerebral sexuality.
Oh, and I think you really did a good job, because that is a thing, the idea of wordplay, getting into someone's mind and heightening the mood that way. I think you really hit it on the nose, because you did create this effect within our mind with your words. It was stunning. And Pam, what did you think?
Well, first of all, that was beautifully read. I like how captivating and sensual this is, and that it captures the whole idea of how much control somebody can have with words, and how much almost the sense of passion that comes with words. And I particularly like a lot of the musical references, like the maestro, and I am the record keeper for what you have been inscribed on my willing frame and spirit with incomparable articulation. And I like the idea of using that as a record keeper, as being the whole idea to me, as I am the one who has felt your touch before, and I am the one who wants to feel your touch again. I am the one who obeyed your commands before, and I am the one who wants to obey them again. There's really such a sense of longing and commitment within this entire rite, and beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. All right. And then I'm going to take this next one as we wait for a few more, because I think Haiku Margie is needed to go. So I'm going to have us read this next one. This is by Poetess Queen. She actually submitted this as a comment to the contest, because it was a pre-write and the show wasn't open for pre-write. But then she actually wrote an original piece as well for this. So we're going to first read this one, and then we'll touch base with her other poem a little later in the show. So this one is Unforeseen Change by Poetess Queen. A cloudy breeze brushed across naked skin, unleashing his logic. New dialects undo fear of love, her eyelash fluttered. Like foreplay through lids thrown shut, I struggled for lack of rest, glimpsing faded horizons, where wavering oceans pool along her soft curve of nakedness. I whisper her name in timeless passage, like mercury slithering down soft, curvy plateaus, listening to rhythms of her heart. As if an art form on canvas, abstract in nature of lucid lips, puckered readily to be tasted, resting chin in upturned palms, I reached for her as she teased. I came to her wrapped in poetic low burn, igniting darkness of her mind, while she whispered, gathered on the breeze. I knew her essence physically, how powerless I felt under her prowess. Her body spoke to me upon windswept storms, bathed in her electric facade, an catastrophical release pressed hard against groined hunger, immuted tongue tasting, longing to forage in her lushness as she knelt like a sacrificial lamb. I caressed carameled sweet sexuality in my mind to remember delving deeply, slowly, like a kite rising on a sea breeze, touching love's tender hymen, shrouded in benevolent flesh, oozing melodic notes as we sung chords of vagary. Want to consummation of augury, of vignettes written between flesh and need. We whispered our music in memory, a filled with mute pleas bent into each other's arms, leaving teeth marks telling the tale of us. We stirred to fragrant heat, arising from bodily rapture of what might have been in reality. Still, I whisper her name, carved upon the glimmering nakedness of her. Each curve trembles on that hint of pleasure. What a dream, leaving me flush with trembling fever, sipping softly in her valley, holding my breath in shadow of my mind, slowly unlocking those unforeseen chains she placed around my heart. End poem. And Bobby, would you start us off on comments?
Oh, God, where to begin? This is such a stunning piece. It has texture. It describes in such beautiful visual imagery. It's erotic, deeply erotic, but deeply romantic as well. I like the way it starts with the physical, and it ends with the emotional. I'm holding my breath in shadow of mine, slowly unlocking those unforeseen chains she has placed around my heart. It's a transition and a crescendo to the love at the end. But there are so many passages in here that are so captivating. I came to her wrapped in poetic words and slow burn, igniting darkness of her mind. While her whispers gathered on the breeze, I knew her essence physically. That is so elegant, and how powerless I felt under her prowess. There's language in here that is just exquisitely done. Like a kite rising on a sea breeze, touching love's tender hymen, shrouded in benevolent flesh, oozing melodic notes as we sung chords of beggary, want a consummation of augury of vignettes written between flesh and meat. That is exquisitely written. The use of language and words here is so specific that just from this stanza, you realize they're making love for the first time. And it's just a consummation of augury of vignettes. I find that a stunning passage. This is an exquisite piece. I'm going to save it to my favorites list.
Absolutely. This was truly stunning. And before I go any further, I first have to apologize to FaZe because I was a dum-dum and didn't drink coffee and forgot that the wonderful FaZe was with us, not because I don't love her to death, because I do, but I'm just legitimately a dum-dum. So, FaZe, thank you for being here and putting up with my silliness. And then also I want to welcome Felon to the show.
Hello.
Hey.
And Felon may or may not want us to know this, but I'm going to do this and she can be mad at me later.
No.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Felon. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, guys. This is all I'm turning 50.
So that makes you what, 25 now, right?
21, 29 years. 29 years experience.
Okay.
And 21.
You know, you're just a professional at being 21 now. That's all it is. So
yeah,
happy birthday, my dear.
Thank you.
I'm so glad you're here. Because I did neglect Faze, though, I'm going to let her comment first. And then if you've got a chance to read it, I would love for you to comment next. So,
I did.
Faze, what did you think?
I loved it. I thought it was so elegant. It was like a gorgeous exploration of sensuality. Bobby pointed out my favorite part, came to her wrapped in poetic words, in slow burn, igniting darkness of her mind, while her whispers gathered on the breeze. I knew her essence physically. Like that whole part, and then the whole next stanza is just amazing. And when it talked about like the hymen, I don't think it was just the physical, it was love's hymen. So it was like her first love, and like breaking that innocence of letting go. I thought it was gorgeous.
That was a fantastic comment, and I would agree. I think that there is something to it, not just to being like a loss of virginity for the first time, but perhaps the loss of virginity in that relationship for the first time. I could also argue that the way society teaches us to be intimate often, excuse the vulgarity, often is more like fucking than making love. And so this really reads as making love. There is a difference. There is a depth and an appreciation to it. And the way that each little detail of her is reminded or remembered, to me, feels more like the first time making love, not just in intimacy, but perhaps even in life, because that is very much like a virginity, a loss of virginity, a deflowering, if you will, when you begin to understand that sex is a lot more than just two people coming together, but it's an in-depth, detailed appreciation of the person that you are with. So that was a really beautiful comment, Paige.
Great comment.
And Fallon, what did you think?
Oh, I think this is a very exquisite piece. I mean, it's classic, but at the same time, as Bobby stated, it's very, I forgot the word she used. I'm sorry. I'm just like lost my mind. Dog. Classy. It's just classy. You know, it's very tactful. And I think that it speaks, I mean, I think each word is a brushstroke to make just a beautiful picture that is painting here. And it's not just of two souls. It's the brilliance of a relationship evolving. And like you said, the intimacy. There's so many stanzas in here that just kick you in the teeth. Going, wow, it's not that cliche of love. It's an endearment. It's the respect, and it's getting to know a person and becoming one. It's a unity, it's something that's, you know, spells out to me. It's we whispered our music and memory, a whispered echo, filled with the mute pleas bent into each other, arms leaving teeth, marks telling the tale of us. We stirred into fragrance, heat arising from bodily rapture of what might have been in reality. Wow. Beautiful writing. Absolutely stunning work. Great job.
Beautiful comment. And you're right. She does do such an amazing job of giving us this idea, this image of what's going on without ever crossing that line into vulgarity. It's very much a piece of art of this moment of significance, of huge intimacy. It's I feel like a peeping Tom, but I love it. I love it. So we do have a poem by Fallon. I'm going to have us read one more before we do that, and I'm going to put Paige on the spot real quick. Okay, perfect, perfect. All right, so Paige, I'm going to have you read She Plays Along by, I'm going to mess up the name, Pyrosis Soul Weaver, and if you would give that a read. Oh, sorry, tingling tensions. I was looking at felons. Do those two prison ones. This is tingling.
I was like, that's
I'm
not
losing
what you
my
said.
Mind, people. Okay, right. Tingling Tensions by Pyrosis Soulweaver, and go ahead.
Hues of enticement enrapture the senses as they knit like ethereal silks, willfully waking hungers hidden below the caressed creases of lascivious lust. Strand by stroke, they lace across reposed vidi, tuning upon a melodic gasp of anticipation, burgeoning essence onto a bemused rapture that harmonizes excitements neath every stitch. The tangles illuminate the bound desire, building onto a pulsing, passionate purge, a taste of pendulous pleasure, luring libidos onto a lurid arousal of seething consternation. Cords link luminous libidinous that press presence onto the limits of pious procrastination, while madness wails carnal exaltations unraveled by the sways of trellised temptations. End poem.
Oh, I love this piece. And first, I'm going to pause for just a moment and say, welcome to the show, Silk.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Hey, Victoria.
Hey,
anybody
welcome.
Else?
Bobby and
hey.
Fallon
Ready
and Pam.
Silk. Bobby and Fallon. Okay.
Bobby
yeah.
and Fallon,
okay.
Yep. So I think what I love about... I think what I love about this is that it really kind of catches the play of this. Shibari ropes take time. It is not something that you just wrap around them and knot in a few places. It is legitimately a meditation almost of wrapping and knotting and weaving. And the entire time as you're doing this, you know where it's going to go. And so it's this slow build. It's a type of foreplay before the foreplay even begins. And so I love the way that he caught this. The idea of slowly tangling this person up, binding them, understanding where this is going to go, how this plays into the mental game of the Shibari rope, that it is a pious procrastination. I love the idea of that, because you are procrastinating, but it is almost reverently so. And finally, as things come to their moment, when you get to give in to each other, we have that unraveling. And I love, again, the word choice there, the idea of taking this time to bind someone only for it to unravel in this beautiful, intimate, perfect moment. It kind of leaves me just with goosebumps, this thought, the imagery, the way that they evoke the image into our mind is fantastically done. And Silk, did you get a chance to read and or listen to this one? Not on mute?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was on mute. I really dug this. I thought it had a really I don't know if that's the right word, but ephemeral quality to it in a way. The passion was kind of lightly laid down, but it was also thick, too. I really enjoyed it. The tangles illuminate the bond, desire building onto the pulsing passionate urge, a taste of pendulous pleasure, luring libidos into a lurid arousal of seething consternation. I just I really dug the whole piece, and great reader, Faziella.
Fantastic comment, Silk. Thank you. And Fallon, what did you think?
I think that he struck alliteration just so subtle about it, that it was like a tease as well. It's like foreplay in his writing. And it made you want to hold your breath with each stanza, and that's what it did for me. I'm like, really? What? Really? So, and for someone to capture my attention to that, he did a great job, because it was very, Silk said, it's like on the soft side, but at the same time, he came at it. And so that's what I like, when you can actually take words and say so much in one way, but say it really in another. So that takes talent, and this is what this piece did for me. I really enjoyed it, and it's very, very sexual. Great job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was such a great comment. And you're right. Like, they really do use words that just kind of catch your breath. And Sage, what did you think, having read it?
I really liked pious procrastination. I don't know, but I thought that was a fun way of getting into the anticipation part. It's like procrastination, not as in like you don't want to do it, but because you do. It's like either there is piousness in like the amount of detail, or you're like resisting and then you end up going into it. I don't know, something about that part was amazing. And carnal exaltations, really the whole thing is amazing. I could quote like every single line. I really liked it.
Awesome comment. And yes, that's definitely one of my favorite lines too. All right. And then finally, Bobby, what did you think?
I think this was an exquisite brevity. The artful way the author took Shibari, and I've seen it done, and it is time consuming. But at the end, it's amazing. A piece of physical artwork, and I love the way it cues of enticement and knit the ethereal silks. There's verbs in here and nouns that knit and silks and strand by stroke, lace across, repose vita, and it harmonizes excitements, neath every stitch, tangles, it's punctuated with the words that suggest the actual act of a shibari. Cords link luminous, libidinous, dead press presence. The alliteration in this is very skillful. I agree with Felon. The alliteration it stands out, but it doesn't get in the way. It actually it helps the rhythm of the piece. And again, this is another exquisitely sensual and subtly erotic piece that just paints a beautiful word picture.
That was a fantastic comment, Bobby. And I do love that you remind us that shibari ropes are artwork as much as they are this play that follows. It's a devotion to it, to the person, to the act, because anybody can tie a rope, but to spend the time to do a shibari rope, to place those knots artistically upon the body, it's something completely different than just having your hands tied.
Oh no, and I lived in Japan for a year, so I'm fascinated with the culture and their attention to detail. And shibari, if you look at it, is no different than origami or ikebana. It is an attention to detail in a depth that Americans it is rare to us, but to them it invades their culture.
Yeah. So we see that. It's kind of funny that you say that, because we see that throughout a lot of American culture. We'll try and steal ideas from other cultures, but we never quite do it right, because we lose the idea of what it's about. For the Japanese, it's an attention to detail. It's a devotion. It is a meditation. It's like in France, they'll have 7-course meals every single dinner, so to speak, but it lasts for hours, whereas most American 7-course dinners is like maybe 2 hours, because we're focused more on we're eating and not on this is a communal opportunity to be together. That's kind of why I criticize, the idea of intimacy and sexuality that's infused into the American culture, because none of it is about the other person. What Hollywood shows is not true intimacy. It's, like I said earlier, it's fucking. Like, anybody can do that. We've lost what it means to come together. And so, yes, I love that comment. Thank you, Bobby. I loved it.
Absolutely. I have a friend that calls it masturbation with a partner.
You're not far off.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, I'm going to move us along. I'm going to put Felon's up, and Felon, if you'd be so kind as to read this for us.
I don't want to kind of read mine, because mine doesn't touch nowhere near like these pieces. These pieces have been amazing, such talent.
Well, then you always come on and are like, I wrote this in 5 minutes. It's not very good. And then it's like one of the best pieces of the entire show. Do not give me that crap, woman. Read your poem.
And this is the one to the lady with the heels tied up around her thighs, I guess, and with a little skirt. So she plays along. It goes like this. Pitched high, resting along flex thighs, muffled squeals, tied spikes up on heels. Control pleated with stitch within stitch desires left heated, flesh smooth as honey, two bodies become glued. He who pulls the string is the melody she sings. Pelvis raised in the air, she giggles, as does he dare. Passive aggressive plays innocent, her card dominant and deceptive. End point.
So, you don't think you're up to par. I think you are. I think you are, because to me, what you've pretty much described is a brat, and it's a type of submissive who constantly likes to kind of dare and push the edge of her dominance. the whole point is to kind of just get to that point, go beyond the act of submission. They just like to, like a toddler.
They like to let them think they're in control, but they're not.
They think they're in control, but they're not.
Mm-mm.
Exactly.
Never.
And so to me, this really caught that. I loved the kind of play that you did with this, the idea of a schoolgirl, which goes really well into the idea of possible, and which, you know, not generalizing, you know, types of submissions and all that, but the idea of a brat playing a schoolgirl works really, really well in my mind. And so the idea of this person who likes control, who likes to have that dominant rein them back in, the idea of a pleated skirt, which if anybody who's worn a pleated skirt knows, it takes time to make sure your pleats are where they're supposed to be. And then, of course, you know, of course, having him pull the strings and that causing her to just sing for him, to pull notes from her body as a melody, and the appreciation of it. You know, it feels very much like a dominant who says, you know, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And the prat keeps going, you know, to why not, why not, why not, and tempting him. And so this is kind of that culminating moment where it's turned into foreplay, where perhaps, you know, he bound her feet as she's in her little schoolgirl outfit and he's, you know, schooling her, so to speak. I love it, the idea of playing with innocence and, you know, believing that she's dominant. Because let's be honest, the subs tend to be the ones who get to have the safe word to stop things. They're not really not in control.
Well, even in her bonded moment where she's been bonded, she's still in control. He just doesn't know he's the one tied up.
Exactly. Exactly. Because if she says stop, he has to, you know, as long as we all play by the rules. So I really do feel like you did a fantastic job with this. And you really did catch the essence of a dominant submissive who are using ropes as part of their play. It really is quite fantastic.
Not that I've done it once or twice.
Well, that's ridiculous. Oh! I'm
just saying.
And
naughty felon.
I'm very naughty. Very naughty.
This is why she's 21 for the 29th time, guys. Let's be honest.
That's right. I got practice.
Pam, did you get a chance to hear this one?
I did. That was a wonderful read. And once again, Felon is just really impressive with her imagery. I like muffled squeals, tied spikes up on heels, controlled, pleated within stitched desires, left heated. I like that whole idea of that kind of that sense of control there and desires left heated, kind of like hanging on that edge of wanting that fulfilled but not quite having it. And, of course, the passive-aggressive, plays innocent, her card dominant and deceptive. Yeah, the whole idea of the playing innocent is just an excellent play on words there. The whole idea, just very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That means a lot coming from you because you're the kind of woman with the whip.
You don't fuck with Pam, guys. You don't fuck with Pam.
No, she's a mistress. No, she's a mistress.
Well, I mean, maybe that's the
awesome
point.
She did. I have to say, I'm maybe embarrassed, Pam, but Pam earlier today before the show sends me a dominatrix cow, and I was like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, my God, I got to see that.
It was gold, guys. It was so great. She had a whip and everything. Oh, my God.
She keeps it right next to her leather Barbie.
I actually used to have that as my, what do you call it?
Avatar.
Profile picture. Yeah, avatar. You see
oh,
my
did
avatar.
You really? Oh, my
God. Here. I'll put it in the room so everybody can see it so Bobby can get an even bigger laugh.
It was so great. It completely made my day, guys. Like, seeing this, I was like, I don't care what happened today. It's now great. This is perfect. All right. And, Silk, do you mind commenting on this?
Not at all. I'd love to. I really enjoyed this piece, Felon. And you always rock. I don't know why you always think you don't, but yeah, you do always rock. And I love that depiction of the, you know, tide, like the spikes of her heels turned up. I love down here where you said, he who pulls the string is the melody she sings. And like she's waiting to be undone. But then I love that little bit of playfulness at the end of playing the passive-aggressive plays innocent. And I think I said I'm really buying that playing innocent look. Her card dominates.
No, I wouldn't either.
It was a lovely piece. Great read.
Thank you, Silk. Thank you.
That was an awesome comment, Silk. Thank you. And Faith, what did you think?
I loved it. I really like the control pleated within stitched desires left heated. This was really great. I mean, everyone already said things, so I'm not going to repeat everything that everybody said, but yeah, it was awesome, Fel.
Thank you, Faith. That was an awesome comment, Faith. I know you don't think that you added much, but you do. Your kind words always mean so much, at least to me, and I'm sure everybody else. And Bobby, finally, what did you think?
I really like this in juxtaposition to the previous pieces. The previous pieces had a much more classical flow to them. This has a much more contemporary flow. We're talking Silk as opposed to PDC. And we got PDC right here. I mean, we got leather. And it's punchy. It's punctuated with great imagery, pitch, and I mean even the start grabs you, pulls you right in. Pitched high resting along flex thighs, muffled squeals, tied spikes up on heels. The wordplay is great. It's almost melodic the way you assembled this, and I like I said, it has more contemporary flow, which I think is great. So I think you tend to be too dull, too self-deprecating to your verse. This is your style, and it's great because it's refreshing when you get through reading a lot of long things. This is just bang, bang, bang. It's like hearing violin on staccato as opposed to long passages. It captures you, and I love the way you write toward the end. You've got her chopping from the bottom. Passive aggressive plays innocent or card dump. And as we this is a great story, actually. Victoria said brat, yes, and also here's a gal who probably dominates most of the rest of the time, but for the right top, she'll bottom. And that's, to her, that exquisite release given to her by just the right person is just what her mind and her body want. And you've colored it in such a way that I can see the play. It's beautiful.
Wow, Bobby, that's perfect. I mean, you described it perfectly because it is. It's a give or take, and sometimes you have to be a little, you know, passive. But at the same time, you're going to come back just as aggressive to let them know, just that firm grip back on them. So I think you captured that really well for me. Thank you.
That was an awesome comment, Bobby, and also from Fel. And today is the day we learned that Fel is a power bottom. I love it.
Bottom, top, side, front.
And this is why I love this show, and I love these people. This is, oh man, I'm just having a blast. All right, so I'm going to throw you to the wolves and let you read your piece.
Well, that's okay, because it's been said I am a wolf now and then, but here we go. This one's called Sweltering in Bondage. My taste growl with animalistic fervor, a primal poise to pounce, stalking the sweltering purgatory that lies between shadows and lust, where I hunt you, predator eyes painting your skin in shivers of primordial poetry, my wicked tongue salivates with sinuous curves of your carnal flesh. Fight or not, we both know you desire the rope, little girl. I shall bind you, each knot stripping me bare until your ego runs free. Within the depths of your bondage, laying spread before me, wrapped in my satin web, like a testament of sublime submission. Make no mistake, my whim shall crawl your skin, teasing the inhibitions from every breath, edging you again and again, so you are a sea of orgasms, thrumming and unspent, your pheromones perfuming the air and every pore screaming, fuck me. Only then shall I acquiesce in the desperation of your pleas, unleashing the beast of my passion, the serpent piercing the howl of your libido. Hush, my pretty little doll, whispered against your ear as I slowly stuff your wet panties into your mouth, then collect every climax I've denied you, plucked one by one as you melt and run, struggling against the threads of your restraints. The only thing breaking tonight is you, Bim-Bum.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm in a really weird place right now because I feel like Dex just, like, edged me because he commented in the group right towards the end, this poem hits different picturing the cow reading it. And so I was really, really into this. And then I read that and I was like, oh, man, I just lost it all. This, though, truly was a fantastic piece. I loved the way that there's almost this hunt, which works really well with that first line of yours, my taste growls with animalistic fervor. The idea that you are spinning this web, capturing this prey, your lover, to take what you want from them, harvest what you want from them. The idea of a snake in its web, the hunt and the prey. And then, of course, the entire time as you stimulate and seduce and draw the desire out of them, you never quite get your feast because a true feast takes time to prepare. And so finally, once the air is full of pheromones and they cannot take it any longer, they are left pleading for release. That is when you go and harvest each single climax that you've denied. It's delicious. I'm salivating. My body is covered in goosebumps, and I adore it. Now, if only Dex didn't cough block me. So, and Faith, what did you think?
Dex and the cock blocking, like always. I love you, Dex. I really, really like. I liked then collect every climax I've denied you, plucked one by one. That was amazing. This whole thing was sensual and awesome, and I echo everything that Victoria said.
Well, thank you, Virginia. Appreciate that.
It was most certainly sensual and amazing. And Bobby, would you mind giving some thoughts? Not on mute.
Silk scared Bobby away.
Uh-oh.
No, I'm just kidding. She,
I hope not.
She must be on mute because she's still on the phone.
Bobby? Bobby?
Bobby, that's propane, Bobby.
I don't know.
Bobby's edging us.
I thought she had the panties in her mouth. Like, Silk, what did you do?
Wrong buttons.
That was just the right button.
See how the mute monster got me finally. I was being so good too. I'm in awe of the different styles of poetry that this contest and the subject matter and the theme have evoked. I mean, you've got everything that runs from a classical and lyrical to contemporary, and this piece is very primal. This is very visceral, but not tawdry. It's erotic. It's provocative. It's evocative, and it sets a very, like I said, a very primal tone. My tastes growl with animalistic fervor, primal poised to pounce, docking the sweltering purgatory that lies between shadows and lust. Well stated. I mean, you've established the base right there as being very visceral, very raw, and not a damn thing wrong with that, because there are bottoms out there that will they'll look at their top and they'll say, give me your best shot, and that's what they're looking for, and they're looking for this very aggressive kind of play, which is what you're depicting here. And this can be very exciting. This can be as exciting as the slow, subtle sensuality, but the mind fornication, this is just right out, balls to the wall, give it your best shot. And sometimes that kind of play is so exciting that you've got two sweating masses at the end of it just laying there gasping for air. But this is beautifully, beautifully written. It's, like I said, a BDSM in the jungle. This is like Wild Kingdom meets BDSM.
That was an awesome comment. poor Bobby. Bobby, I don't know if you're, I assume you are live in the chat, and I'm sorry if I teased you. That was an awesome comment.
Girlfriend, let me establish something right now. After 20 years in Uncle Sam's Boys Club, I am not that fragile. I am not fucking fragile, okay?
Between all of us here, I'm waiting for Pam to message me and be like, Victoria, stop. So, I'm just having... I'm having too much fun. And Pam, could you give us some thoughts?
Absolutely. This is wonderfully read. So I like how raw the sensuality and desire is in this, and how you take us through step by step the whole process of letting you know, the submissive know her place, and giving, and the giving and receiving of pleasure within this, I think, is very palatable and beautifully written and very well done.
That was a beautiful comment, Pam.
Well,
And
can
next
I comment?
Up, I'm... Oh, yes, Fallon, I'm so sorry. Yes, please do.
I was going to say, I don't know if this is possible. Well, yeah, it is possible. You made my tongue hard with this, because let me tell you. just the end of it just was like, whoa, had me bite my nails. It says the only thing breaking tonight is you. But what really got me is, hush, my pretty little doll, whispered against your ear. And so I slowly stuffed your wet panties into your mouth. I don't know if you were in my dreams or in my bedroom sometimes, because you're just sitting there just checking out some little things that I've been thinking or doing. So, wow.
This
is a lot of stuff. I mean, this is erotica on steroids. Seriously. I know this is where your forte is. This is where you write, and you write it beautifully, and you do it in a sensual but sexy but also classy way. You tease us with, you know, you tease us with your words, and you undress us with them as well, and you sort of got us touching ourselves at the end. So, boy, when you come over around me, you better not have any restraints, because it's on.
That was an amazing comment, Fallon. I'm sitting over here like, hot damn, I don't think anybody can top that. That was great. All right, I'm going to have us move on. We're going to do Spiders Prey the Hunted by Chaos. And Pam, would you be so kind as to read this one?
I would be happy to. All right.
Spiders
Prey. Is there a SoundCloud? There is a SoundCloud. Did you get it in?
Oh, let me check. Maybe. Maybe. Hold on. I know I asked for one to be uploaded, but I could have been a dum-dum. That happened.
No. Why don't...
Yes, I did ask for it to be uploaded yesterday.
Okay. Let me check here. Did you double checking? It looks like it didn't get in. Do you want to move on to something else for now and we can see if Phil can get it in, if she's still awake?
Yeah, I'll shoot her a message real quick. So, Chaos, stick with us for a little bit more. We're going to try and get yours uploaded so we can hear it in your own voice, in which case we'll move on to Inked Essence, and I'll just have you still read this one, Pam.
All right. Sounds good to me. And this is The Artist Easel by Ink and Essence, and it goes like this. Unrobed to unveil nakedness, silken skin exposed, drifts roped around behind your head, knotted, creakingly taut. The rest of you is tethered to the hefty wooden frame, intimate, yet lavishious in aura. Your sights blotted by blindfold fluff, nipples gaze in masochistic ways, spellbound. You are the canvas on this easel, and I have captured your attention. Oil splashes moisten blushed complexion, coarse bristles of brush strokes crawl, arcanid, archaic agitation unrushed. Through tender undulations, your sensuous smile shivers, shy squirms naughtily provoked, with insatiable lust restrained for now. Your vulnerability fascinates, hands try to break free, but your desire concedes. Watercolors flicked in surprise as ribs twitch with inner sniggers. Cool droplets drip, merging with perspiration, like the candlestick drools wet wax from fitful flames puddled between your feet. I move in closer to inspect every detail of my artwork, crouch musingly. My lecherous tongue explores tantalizing areas ineffable as your body tries to fight like a salmon out of water. You cannot break free. End poem.
Oh, I love this. The different ways in which she shows dominance, the idea that they are the canvas and she is the artist, that they are the feast in which the wax wets their palate, that she has bound them with each detail of her attention to her artwork. And that's what it is. It is an artwork, both for the artist and the canvas. It is a way to make each other better. And I love, I could almost feel my tongue exploring when she goes, my lecherous tongue explores tantalizing areas ineffable as your body tries to fight like a salmon out of water. The idea of the way that a body will writhe, describing it almost as a salmon out of water, really captures that movement, the bucking, and yet they can't break free. I absolutely love this. This was so artistic and delicate and yet strong, and it was just fantastic, in my opinion. And Felon, I'll let you go first so that you can just, you know, knock this one out of the park too.
Oh, well, I'll try. I to me, this is like a blank canvas, and the fingers do the actual portrait that it's going to, you know, portray, or it's going to show you, or what he's going to show her. Basically, I'm going to paint this picture for you, and the picture of that of erotic pleasures, and he does just that. Probably not with just his fingers. It looks like his tongue got involved there too. So, wow, the crotch mushiness, as they said, my licorous tongue explores tantalizing. Whoa, I mean, a salmon out of water, and in this here, you can't break free. Him and still need to get together on breaking free or getting loose. So maybe they need to put some locks on the doors, keep the women in there. But this is a hot.
Absolutely. And I think Bobby has ran away for the night. We wore her out, which is good. That's the point of the show. And so, Faith, would you mind sharing some thoughts?
I liked You Are the Canvas on this easel, and I've captured your attention, because there's something about the ropes where it's like you're capturing, but usually you're capturing, like, their physical self, but you're also capturing the attention here. I thought that was clever. There's really great vocabulary all throughout this. You can tell he's British, just with his word choices. I wish we had a SoundCloud, because he has an amazing voice. Let's see. There was another part that I wanted to talk about that now I forget. The tongue part at the end was awesome. I've lost the other thing that I was going to point out. The puddle between the feet, too, was the candle. Wow, I'm saying this so terribly. I'm sorry. I'm so tired.
No, you're doing great.
The candle part.
It's hard to keep your mind out of the gutter.
I know.
That was truly an awesome comment, and that's what I love about these poems, is that we really get to see an artistic and beauty to something that a lot of people don't always understand or they misrepresent, and then you get something like these, like Silks, like this one, like Felons, like Bobby's, and you start to understand there is truly a beauty and an erotic nature to this. It's not just, you know, someone who wants to be taken advantage of and used. It's truly this kind of intimacy, and it really does hit differently. So that was an awesome comment, Faith, and I love that you kind of got lost in it, because you started talking about how he's got a great voice, and I'm like, well, now I need to hear this, and it's probably good that we don't have a SoundCloud, because I will be distracted all night. all right, and Felon, you already commented, so Silk, what did you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know a lot of his poetry, but this is fantastic. I really enjoyed it. I thought his wordplay was very well done. It had a sensual flow to it. It was very erotic, and I love this stanza right here. Watercolors flicked in surprise as ribs twitch within her sniggers. Cool droplets strip, merging with perspiration like a candlestick, jewels wet backs from fitful flames puddled between your feet. That stanza was just like dripping with double entendre and just so much naughtiness that I just I totally dug it, especially but the whole
awesome words, Silk. And Pam, did you have any thoughts?
Absolutely. First of all, I have no problems with distractions, so next time he writes for Black Lace Diaries, I want to hear a SoundCloud. And,
amen.
Oh, right? This is so beautifully written. I really like the prompt pictures that you chose. The black and white works really well for sensual. And I like that with this, as you guys mentioned, he compares himself to an artist and to her as the work of art. On a technical level, there's some wonderful alliteration in here that's subtly used. And I like the use of movement and noise, the squirms, you know, the flickers of surprise, the twitching ribs, and even sniggers. Like, you would never think to use sniggers in a sensual poem, and yet somehow it works. That whole idea of, and it makes the moment almost more joyful. Like, there's really not, it's not a dark sensual, even though it involves bonding. There's really almost this whole idea of two people mutually playing together. I think it's an excellent write and very well done.
That was
Are you on mute, Victoria? Oh, there you are.
I was for just a second, but I'm back. That was an amazing comment, and you're right. Like, there really is a power behind his words. It's just fantastic. All right, we are going to move on to Gothic Princess by Bookworm Dave, 227. And so could you read this one for us?
Sure thing. I'll be honored. Grab the link here. If I can get the room to refresh. Is it up?
No, Victoria, you posted the old one again.
Oh,
oh my goodness.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just like, I'm just
it's
losing
up,
my mind.
It's up.
Oh, I've done it.
There we go.
Well, of course it's
did
not,
it.
But I'm at the busy it now. Gothic Princess. In the dark hours, just after midnight, Dukas is playing in the background. She presses her deep ruby-red lipstick on, snaps on her stockings, looking at me, looking more like gazing at her. Her come-hither whisper, her dominant side wants attention. My submissive side needs this mistress of the night with a kiss and a hug. The Smiths blaring on my stereo? Or is it Morrissey solo? Her purring words keep playing in my mind. All I could do is think of her beauty. Raven jet black hair, bright coral blue eyes, dangerous curves, her pasty white skin glistening. Making love with her, sweat, blood, tears, songs of these days forever playing on my mental iPod. Boom. Oh, I like that. It's a different style.
It's definitely a different style, and I really like it because it doesn't, to me, it doesn't read so much as bound, but an appreciation of the person that you're with, even if they are alternative. So the idea of like a gothic princess, not a lot of people, especially as we age, like as teenagers, it's like, oh yeah, gothic person. But you know, adult life says these people shouldn't be around. And as someone who's gothic and finds ways to do it professionally, how to be a professional while still wearing a lot of black, you know, it's just something, it's something just a little different. And so I really liked this, not so much. And there's also kind of this shift here too, because he is playing the submissive. And while a woman, there's definitely a female dom. That's, we do not get to say that just because someone's a female, they're going to be a submissive. But we get to see this from a male submissive side, from someone who is giving a little bit of aftercare, who is showing beauty in their dominance, who possibly ties them up with her stockings. It's just, it's really, really fun. And the lasting impression to me, it really speaks of the security that a good dom can provide to a submissive, because that's part of the enjoyment of it is, you know, being an adult is a lot of work, and sometimes it's nice to be taken care of. And I would imagine that there are plenty of men too that need to be taken care of because of what society throws them into. So I think this is just a truly beautiful poem that doesn't just speak of a dominant and a submissive, but the love shown between these two. Really, really beautiful piece. And Faith, what did you think?
I like it. I like the stockings. I just like stockings. I like that detail. I loved the last line with my mental iPod. It's an interesting way to put it. Like this moment's going to replay whenever he wants to think about it. But the mental iPod is a really like contemporary way of putting that. And then the description of her, like her hair and her eyes and whatnot. The only word I didn't love was pasty. I don't know. For me, pasty is not necessarily a sexy thing. But the rest of it I thought was really awesome.
That absolutely was. And I mean, pasty is definitely one of those words where you're like, you don't think that it's really complimentary. Like pasty tends to have a negative connotation to it. But I can also kind of get it. I mean, arguably I have a pasty complexion, and it's just because I hate the sun. And so I don't tan. I turn into a lobster and then I freckle. So,
I'm the same, and I think maybe that's why I don't like it, because I'm picturing myself.
That is fair. Both my siblings, like, when I'm tan and they're not, they're still darker than me. And so, you know, I know I'm white, but I've, like, embraced my whiteness at this point. But I get it, too, because, I mean, all the times that you have growing up, you have the girls that are like, you're so pale. You're so pasty. It just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So So I think that's fair. Personal trauma affecting a word. And
that's
Belle,
a short pale
in
the gothy. So
I mean, I didn't feel at this point, but you know, preppy kids, they leave trauma.
Yeah,
Belle,
I hated the preppy kids too when I was a kid. But you wanted me to comment? Okay. I really dug this. Like I said, he had a very unique style and take here, and I could see it Bound a little bit. I think he kind of took Bound as in Bound of to each other more than literally, because this kind of had that back and forth play where they're both the sensuality slowly building between them, and that submissive side, because I'd say too that all women aren't submissive and all guys aren't dominant, and even in those roles a lot of people can switch and go back and forth and can be switches, and I mean, it's always, it gets a little boring if you're always playing the same role. And I really loved how he put the music into this too, because music to me is a background to pretty much almost all my life. And something I always have going on through my head too, because I know that mental iPod, or though I'm not big on Apple, so I'd say my mental Samsung, whatever the equivalent, I guess, would be now. But I really dug it, and of course Gothic Princess. I like Gothic girls when I was a kid, and I never outgrew that. I still like the Gothic and all that. So really dug it.
Absolutely. Oh, and I love that, because we do tend to like fall into roles, and sometimes it's nice to break out of them. I mean, I have a history of TMI, so here we go, guys. TMI. I tend to be a very dominant person throughout most of my day. And so kind of like what Silk is talking about, it's nice to play a switch. Sometimes it's nice to be dominant, but I often have a preference more towards submission, because I don't want to be in that dominant role. I'm dominant with my clients. I'm dominant in my family, you know, with my siblings and my parents. I'm typically the one who's saying, no, we're not going to do that. And so being able to have these moments where I can be submissive, where I don't have to be in control, is always, it's nice. It's a release. It's calm. But then of course, there's other times where that dominant just needs to sneak out. So that was a fantastic comment. So thank you for that. And Pam, what did you think?
I really like this. I think, we read Bookworm Dave on the last show, and he's very versatile in the topics that he takes on. He does seem to really enjoy music. I like his choices here. That he starts out mentioning Dukas, who was the person, the musician who wrote the Sorceress's Apprentice, which fits perfectly with the theme of the dominatrix and the submissive. And the idea that this is someone who does what they're told, but maybe messes it up a little bit and has to be punished. And then that he switches to the Smiths or Morrissey solo, I thought that was very clever in setting the tone.
You
got to
do it.
Yeah,
I said then, what you can do for you.
Oh. Yep, and the phrase, the phrase dangerous curves. Now, I do have to say, I'm not sure this woman actually physically existed, because at the end where it says, making love with her sweat, blood, tears, songs of those days forever playing on my mental iPod. Now, is this just a fantasy that he's having while listening to music on his iPod? Or, you know, it just kind of leaves that question hanging. Like, I think it could go either way. I think it could be that, you know, this lovemaking session of submission and control is happening, and the music is playing, or the music is playing and he's simply dreaming about this. It's really just a wonderfully intriguing light, and I look forward to reading more of him.
I love that comment, Pam. I love that there's this idea that it could be literal and it could be figurative, that the mental iPod could be just a replaying of memories, or it could be the mind games. And I do agree with you. I think there is kind of a little bit of ambiguity when it comes to that. And so that's, I think that was just really fantastic, a really insightful comment. So thank you for that. And Fel, are you still hiding around here?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I do see Pacey as a sensual word because you know what? Pacey means they want to come glued to you. So that's what I'm going to keep because I'm Pacey skin too. I make Casper go, oh, my gosh, put on something. Girl, you should be blinding me. But this speaks to me is like someone doing a few shots, and then when the drunkenness and the intoxication comes, that's when they were staring at each other's eye. They become intoxicated with one another, and just by simple little things and gestures that she does, it's almost you become drunk on their actions and just on the body language of the person. And to me, and then all else falls numb. And where it says here, it says making love with her, sweat, blood, and tears, song of all the days, forever playing my mental iPod. That's when after you've already gotten the drunkenness and you're intoxicated by them, and everything is just swirling and swooing. That's what I gather from it. This is an excellent ride, and I think they really nailed it home with the gothic piece. Great job.
That was a fantastic comment. Awesome. Thank you so much, Fel. All right, so we have about a half an hour left in the show, and I've got 8 poems I'd love to get to, so I am going to start limiting comments so we can get as many of these in as possible. Great problem to have, and of course, if we don't get through all of them, I will be making sure that we go and catch them in the next show, but as that's 2 weeks away, I'd like to get as many as we can done. I've not heard back from Fel, so I'm going to have us read one more piece, and then we're going to return to chaos. And so this next one is Rapt Inebriation by Poetic Anne. I'll give this one a read. My eyes bonded to his sinew body as his aroma stirs me like a breeze wrapped in his aphrodisia, emanating like the ambrosia of gods, leaving me breathless in his wake. As he steps out of his shower, I want to oil his wet skin, enfold myself into his heated aura exuding from his exquisite physique, wanting to tie him up. I exhale inwardly, encapsulating myself in his fragrance as my olfactory senses become fixated on his redolence. I savor every nuance of his movements, setting off signals to taste his telltale subtle sweetness. Bound eyes and fingers ache to encase him in my web, drink him in, swallowing in the balm of him, inebriated. End poem. Pam, would you start us off on comments?
Absolutely. I enjoy sensual rites that have the my or the I, you know, the first person narrative, taking us through how intense the person feels. And I really like that I exhale inwardly, encapsulating myself in his fragrance, and my olfactory senses become fixated in his resilience. You know, it's not just what does he physically look like, but breathing in that scent, that masculine, musky scent. I love that smell of men. And I like setting off singles a taste of his telltale, subtle sweetness. The eagerness to want to taste, and yet, you know, holding back at the same time. It's just beautifully written and very enticing. And damn, I like that picture.
It was a fantastic poem and a fantastic picture that Pam actually found for us, which is it's a delicious picture. And that was a fantastic comment, Pam. Thank you. And Silk, what did you think of this?
I thought it was a very yummy poem. I suddenly have this need to be tied up. And like I said, it was very beautifully done, erotic. I loved how she described just wanting to kind of capture him and then just feed off of every part of him and just devour him fully as it went on. That's how it read. And like I said, it was very steamy, very erotic, and I really enjoyed it. Very well done.
Beautiful comment. Definitely erotic. And Faith, would you finish off this poem for with a comment for me?
Like other people have said, I love that it gauges the other senses, the smells and the heat. Like, I really loved the heat part, enfolding myself into his heated aura, exuding from his exquisite physique. It's like there's this warmth that men kind of, like, put off. I don't know, it seems like men are naturally, like, hotter, like, in a not just an attractive way. But
I mean, yeah, they are.
yeah, they are. I mean, I like both, but men, yes. I really like that it touches your other senses, not just the vision, even though, like, he's obviously amazing to look at. I like the ambrosia of the gods reference. This was awesome.
That was a beautiful comment, Faith. And I, too, love that ambrosia reference because it's just, drinks down something delicious. All right, so in the hopes of getting to a few more poets before the end of the show, we're going to move on to Spider's Prey, The Hunted by Chaos. And Faith, not to put you back on the spot, but would you mind reading this one for us?
Of course. Spiders Prey, The Hunted, by Chaos. Bound by beauty in my colorful, clouded mind, scribbled artful array of chaos, fine finesse of fingers linger on skin like tiptoes of an ant. Crawling memories keep me suspended in wait, willing, and wanton. Paintbrush gel pen strokes neon the skies, suspended and glowing under your gaze. If I could paint a picture of desire, I'd be on my side, skin lit by moody lights, rope bound, floating, suspended in air, wrists, waist, slender arms, immobile, a visceral vulnerability, my curves exposed for your feather-like touch, my canvas blue from icy explorations, red afterglow of heat expectations at all times. This is me in your presence, a slave to your blue topaz eyes, askewed thoughts of my hungry eyes eat in your masculinity, undressing you while you speak. Greed gathers my senses. I'm deaf to your plight, spellbound, ready to surrender at any given moment, anywhere. Your iris devours my sanity. I'm imprisoned to comply to your command. Baby, delight me with deep passion. Impress your branding on me. Fill this carnal need anytime, any place, anywhere. I'm food spun in your silken web, and I'm not even trying to escape. End poem.
Oh, Faith. That was an amazing read, and thank you, Chaos, for that awesome write. I think what I love most is that she shows this binding, not necessarily in the physical sense, but it starts with this and being enraptured with him, fixated upon him. And there's this idea that she wants to devour him. And so you get this kind of play of, he's bound her. He has sway over her. And yet, in none of this is she prey. She is there because she wants to be a slave to the blue eyes, wrapped in his web, not wanting to leave, not wanting to escape. There's this beautiful sensuality in it of willfully giving yourself, willfully walking into the web, and yet being exactly where you want to be, because that's often not something that people think that they want. And they don't have to. It's a taste. It's fine. But there's a beauty in it, this idea of being suspended in the air at your wrists, being allowed to have them touch you with their feather touch, find your afterglow. It's just really beautiful. And again, it shows that nice balance of being where you want to be, even if it is at the will of another. Just amazing, right? Delicate, yet strong, knowing what you want. It is not wishy-washy in any means. Just really fantastically done. And Fel, what did you think?
Well, like always, you know, Chaos, she knows how to bring it to bring it to life, because I really like the fact that, you know, her relating the spider's prey to the actual picture. I mean, she actually just nailed it on that, because they're actually, you know, caught in midair and they're bounded, yet she makes it more of a playful kind of, you know, like it's a hunt, and that's, it's usually what it is. I mean, it's not something you just set out to do. You have to find that right person, and I think that's what she was trying to do, is to describe the actual respect between the two, to actually, you know, partake in this activity. That's what really spoke to me, is we're here where she says, "Your Irish devours my sanity. I'm imprisoned to comply to your command. Baby, delight me with your deep passion. Impress me, your branding on me. Feel the carnal need anytime, anywhere. I'm food spun in your silken web, and I'm not even trying to escape." I think that is just very sensual, very erotic, and I think she really nailed it, the prompt. Good job.
Absolutely. Fantastic comment, Phil. Thank you. And finally, Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I really enjoy and appreciate Chaos's work, and I like that in here she's, you know, speaks obviously as being captured, as being the one being controlled, but at the same time, she, like you mentioned, Victoria, she's doing exactly what she wants. I really like a visceral vulnerability, my curves exposed for your feather-like touch. Beautiful phrasing and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. And there is, you know, the reason that people find themselves in these webs, in these moments, is not because them or forced them to be here. It's truly a place of desire and comfort. And like Fel said, it really does show the respect and the beauty of this union. It's just a really fantastic piece. So thank you all for your beautiful comments. And thank you, Kay, for your write. First time I've read her, definitely will be back for more. All right, and next up, we're going to read Skeletons by Disgrena Soulweaver. And Pam, would you take this read for me?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. All right, Skeletons by Disgrena Soulweaver. And it goes like this. Late in the night, my daemon's whispering, only wait a silence, just a little taste of your sensual pain. That's all I need, calling you because you have no shame. You'll never leave when it comes to me. 3 a.m. I'm tangled, the fly in your web. You bind me carefully, so there will be no decency thereafter. A deeper need, a darker love, certainly misunderstood, except between we. And poem.
Oh, this one gives me goosebumps. I love this. This idea of calling someone in the dark of night, almost as if this is something to be hidden. And yet it's truthfully not. Many people may not understand it, but there is a freeing nature when you don't have to focus on how you act or what you say or what you do. You just get to be caught in this moment. You get to be the fly in their web as you give into this feelings and exploration. And so at 3 a.m., she is bound and there is no decency left. He will take what he wants, know all of her wholly. And in this moment, no one else needs to truly understand the dark desires that they share. It leaves me salivating. Absolutely beautiful piece. And Fel, what did you think of this? Did we lose Fel? No.
Felin actually had to go.
Oh, well, that makes me sad. I missed that. Okay. Well, in which case, Silk, your turn then. And happy birthday, Fel. Silk, are you on mute?
I am on mute. I'm sitting here, like, making the best comments ever, and, But, I totally love this, because I always love Dark Sensual, and that beginning, like, Damon's whispering, only way to silence. And I love down here where she said, 3 a.m. untangled the fly in your web. You bind me carefully, though there will never, though there will be no decency thereafter. That has to be a little touch of tenderness before the real fun begins. I just really dug this and really, saw the way through. It's great.
Beautiful comment, Sulking. You're right. There is that tenderness there before they delve into the web of deliciousness. That sounds corny. Whatever. It's sweet. And Faith, what were your thoughts on this?
I like it. I especially like the beginning, as it, Silk just said, the way to silence that whispering of like the demons. He needs that taste of that specific person who doesn't shame him for what he wants, and he doesn't have to feel bad about anything. There's a connection there. I thought it was really good about how it also says, like, it's misunderstood, but there's something between them. And I like that he said between we. I don't know. I thought that was cool.
I love that. And, yeah, there is kind of that idea of we rather than us. It almost makes me think of, like, the royal we, like a united pair, even against the misunderstanding that other people have. That was a beautiful comment, Faith. Thank you. All right, and up next we have Black Orchid, Do Not Suppress My Wild Garden. And I'm going to have Silk read this one.
Sure, I'd be honored. Excuse me. And here we go. Do not suppress my wild garden. The ugliness you spit from lips of disgust. Say subjugation is sickening. No, bondage is beautiful. Silken threads of intertwined strings of starvation adorn lanky limbs, desperate to be entangled in ropes of carnal control. Oh, how my body aches to bring forth the bouquet, watered with sweet droplets of dew, pleated with gnarled knots of weed. I'll bloom like silence into a satisfied scream. Your revulsion gives me giggles, fueling my brazen opposition. The control I gift will adorn me like an eagerly sprouting orchid, ready to reveal delicate petals. So stifle your judging statements, my penchants don't concern you. Hide eyes that shun the sun that kindles my shine. Stay a bulb that never buds and stifles his lust forever. But I will blossom in his bonds. Oh, I really dug that.
Oh, this is just awesome. It is awesome. I love that there is this strong stance. So many people think that bondage is wrong, that it's disgusting, that it in some way is showing depravity, that you don't respect yourself. But none of it is so. It is beautiful. It is those moments of getting to feel the silk bind your skin, enjoy the way that it lays across your legs. It's a symbolism of carnality and yet of trust. It leaves me just like tickled and breathless. It's so beautiful because they understand that judgment is always going to be there, but it's really not their concern. They are there to enjoy what they want, to enjoy the way that lust is stifled and how freedom can be blossomed from having your freedom taken from you, if you will, even if you still hold the end card. It's beautiful, and the idea of blossoming in his bonds
it really shows how some people are elevated and freed because they don't have to worry about all the little things that they must do and be. They just are. I love it. I love it. I love it. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, I thought this was beautiful and tastefully done. I like how she stands up and tells people, you know, this is what you think and you're wrong, because when he ties me and we have this bond, you know, it's me growing as a person. And I really like how that her ending lines very much, in fact, the whole poem kind of takes a tone of that Anne Rhine poem, you know, the really short one, that about discovering that the pain it takes to blossom was less, or the pain it takes to stay in a bud. Oh, I can't remember. But do you remember what I'm talking about? Ah, shit. Anyways, it reminds me of that very short Anne Rhine band poem about the pain it takes to stay as a bud and the pain it takes to blossom. And the whole idea that the blossoming is what you want to do. The blossoming is what we are all designed to do. And we'll find different ways that we as human beings and we as sexual entities will blossom. And so just an excellent write and very well done.
I love that. I love you talking about how we blossom from pain. And I do. I know what you're talking about, but as soon as you ask me what it is, I'm not going to remember it, you know.
I know.
But you're right.
Yeah.
Like, it's always that way. But you're right. Like, sometimes a little bit of pain allows people to be a little bit freer, be it in life or in love or lust. Sometimes it just offers an opportunity to be free. It's enough to take our mind off of the world and distractions and call us into that moment. So that was fantastic, Pam. Really awesome comment. And Faith, what did you think?
I loved the third stanza. Oh, how my body aches to bring forth a bouquet watered with sweet droplets of dew, pleated with gnarled knots of need. I'll bloom like silence into satisfied scream. I absolutely love that stanza. And I like the bulb reference at the end, too. Stay a bulb that never buds and stifle his lust forever. It's like being willing to open up and do that and not be so judgy about it. The way that it's described is absolutely beautiful. I really loved the metaphors of the flowers.
Oh, I would agree. The idea of a garden, yes. I love it. I absolutely love it. Awesome comment, Faith. Thank you. All right, and next we have up Neutron Bomb with Shabari Marionette. And I will read this one because I lost track of where we are with readers. Wrapped chevron silken scarf around throat, it slithers serpentine across discordant vocal cords. You maintain your steadfast grip, winding tightly. My master of autoerotic asphyxiation, porcelain dancer contorted by shibari bondage, like marionette on string, hair braided and pulled back, single breast exposed, legs fastened to spreader bar, cable tied. She traces the neck with firm hand and spanks the subject's derriere, her cheeks crimson and beginning to bruise. She applies a clamp to exposed nipple. Vibration rings out through her moist, flesh-filled cavern. A molted aria escapes her soft, plump lips. We harmonize. End poem. I had trouble reading that one. It was a very good piece.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, Silk, would you start?
Yeah, I remember reading this or hearing this read before, and second time is even better. Damn, just the scene she set here the I'm guessing one woman sensually tormenting the other with the clamps and the tying her up completely so she cannot move at all. Even her hair braided, and not that I have ever tied a woman up, but I just totally enjoyed this whole piece. And it was very steamy. I could see where you had trouble finishing reading it because, yeah, that ending too, I love that. The mottled aria escapes her soft, plump lips. We harmonize. And kind of seemed to me it ended with the shared climax there. I really enjoyed that. And great read.
Beautiful comment. Thank you. I'm gonna let Faith comment, and then maybe I'll come back to me once I gather myself. Faith, what did you think?
The last stanza is my favorite. Vibration rings out through her moist, flesh-filled cavern. And then, like Silk said, the shared climax at the end is a really nice way for it to go.
Absolutely. I really like the, I like that she starts not necessarily with being tied up. And yes, the poem itself starts with being tied up. However, there's a hinting that this started even before that in the second full stanza, hair braided and pulled back, single breast exposed. Being bound sometimes starts with something more simple, such as braiding long hair so that it doesn't get in the way. And so to me, this captures a moment at a long process of attention and care and love and details that led to this moment where passion can be expressed so freely, so fully. Bound, legs spread, exposed. The idea that only one breast has managed to come out to me really hints at how the body might have writhed to cause that, for it to lose its place from either being bound or being covered. And so it allows that clamp to be attached to it almost as a new pleasure point to play with. Not because it was intended, but because an opportune of the moment, until at last it does culminate in that joined harmony. It is stunning. And just the idea, Shibari and Marionette, we are the puppet and they are the master. Oh, it was fantastic. Really beautiful piece, Neutron. All right, and Pam, would you read this next one by Cornelius Verdine? And it is called Flowered Lakes in Rope.
Let me see if I can get it. My internet did come back.
Good.
Going in and out, but so far tonight it's had pretty good timing, I will say. So, all right. Flowered Lakes in Ropes by Cornelius Verdine. And it goes like this. Your legs, smooth as silk, I caress them with my eyes, seduced by flowers and tempest milk. I start to gently rub your thighs. In comfort, I wrap them both with the ropes. You understand it is my will. And as you start to wander, to lose your hopes, I feel the shivering of upcoming thrills. I know you also like to play this game, to gain a touch of lust, of an adventure in the dark. An act of balance of pleasure and of pain. Let it all loose and just embark. Finally, you're naked bound, a scene of utter pleasured feeling. And as you fly gently from the ground, your naked feet are searching for the ceiling. End poem.
I love this poem. The slow lead up, the idea that it starts with a caress and the bindings. And as it comes together, there is lust and there is orgasm and there is pleasure and euphoria. One of the things that always kind of like strikes me probably because it's a personal preference, but the idea that it's an active balance of pleasure and of pain, those are two senses that it doesn't really matter what you're doing when you feel something that is pleasurable, be it a caress or a kiss, a good kiss, or even a little bit of pain. For me, at least, they are physical feelings that I cannot help but focus upon. And so for myself, that idea hits particularly hard because when we are hurt, when we are pleasured, we're not thinking about the day or what happened a few weeks ago or the conversation we had with our mother or the frustration of the neighbor who mowed their lawn at 7 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. We are in that moment. We are focused on that feeling. And so having that balance of pleasure and of pain to the point that it reaches euphoria and her feet attempt to hit the ceiling as she expresses this, either because she has been lifted up or because she just is floating in the euphoria, really to me is such a perfect representation of that peak. It's gentle and yet it's powerful. It's, to me, this reads very much as a dom doing this, letting them bow to his will, and yet in all of it, there is an understanding that it is enjoyable for both of them. There is an attempt to create pleasure, a little bit of pain, and make sure that they both reach that full moment. It's wonderfully done. And Faith, what did you think?
I really liked that it had that gentleness at the beginning of, like, in comfort I wrap them. So it's not necessarily, like, an aggressive wrapping. It is with that kind of care and intimacy, the wrapping itself. And I liked the shivering of upcoming thrills. I could almost, like, feel that shiver as it was being said. Like you said, the ending with the naked feet that are searching for the ceiling, that moment of lifting up and probably climaxing or going in that direction anyway, I thought that was a really good ending.
Beautiful comment, Dave. Thank you. And finally, Silk, what did you think? The mute button. I sure love your comments, but I want to hear it. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sorry. My phone locked up. it was on mute.
No worries.
It wouldn't read my iris thing to open either, so I was like, oh. But I really enjoyed this, starting with the title. And that was a very incredible picture, too. I really enjoyed that. And I liked it was very sensual. I liked I'm trying to pick a favorite stanza, but it's hard. I liked in comfort. I wrap them both with ropes. You understand it is my will. And as you start to wonder to lose your hopes, I feel the shivering of upcoming thrills. But that's always fun to read your partner's reactions to your touch, to what you're doing to them, and it's kind of like a back and forth to help build up that anticipation, that pleasure. Just I really enjoyed that, how you depicted that, and it was just a very well done.
Wonderful comment. So thank you. And yes, it is always fun to watch the reaction of your lover. It's almost like the personal acknowledgement that you've done good. The gold star of the adult world. All right, and then finally we're going to read Harbor of Love by Lyrics is Speaking. And Faith, would you take this one for me?
Of course. Harbor of Love by Lyrics is Speaking. Connecting tide to deceive, freaky activities we achieve after dark. We become acquainted, dangerously bonded. It's enticing, unable to breathe as we touch. Each of us knows what we're wishing, locking tongues like it's Tetris. As you're feeling the mist of my kisses hitting your skin, curling your toes, the passion implodes. How far up your body should my tongue flow to deceive? The attraction from that of you and me, not expiring at any time, it seems. I will press my luck, touching all that I want to your spark. It's open for lunch. There's no preference of such. I will willingly dine over time, making you become that of mine, as I love to boast to hear that of your intimate cries. I love the most. End poem.
Beautiful read, Faze. I think what I really like this is how it shows in its own unique way how people fit together. My first marriage ended because my ex-husband and I were not sexually compatible. My taste did not fit his, and that's fine. But what was not fine was him choosing to have playmates outside of our marriage. And yet, when you find someone who fits you, not just because your personalities work well together, but because your desires do as well, it is much like Tetris, as they say. The idea of finding the way that the body, the desire, the want fits with this other person, the taste that elicits their greatest euphoria can be like that feast, like a lunch that is open. And you cannot help but hear and feast upon their cries. It's sweet and kind, and yet there is a love that is there, an understanding that while things are sometimes, as they say, freaky, it doesn't mean that it's not without all the things that society says a loving relationship should be, because oftentimes I'd say there could be even more. Really beautiful piece. And Pam, what did you think?
Yeah, this is wonderful rhyme and flow. I do like the sense of connection between two people in here who fit perfectly together sexually. And I like some of the playful lines, like, to your spark, it's open for lunch. There's no preference of such. I will willingly dine over time. And then to hear that of your intimate cries, I love the most. To know that the end goal is to hear your lover cry out desire and fulfillment, I think just really adds to this rite. It's an excellent rite and very nice.
That was a beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Silk, would you mind ending the show with a contest? I mean, I'll say a few things after your comment, but would you mind ending the show with a comment?
Sure thing, if I can get off mute again. I love this prompt, and a lot of people did too, or this picture, because it was very popular, and I loved it too. But I had to pick one thing out of this poem. I would say, I will press my luck, touching all that I want to your spark. It's open for lunch. There's no preference of such. I will willingly dine over time, making you become that of mine. I love to boast, to hear that of your intimate cries, I love the most. And I am a big aficionado of that kind of lunch. And yes, it is very satisfying to get a woman to make those cries. So that's all I'll say about that.
Wonderful comment. All right, so we've got about a minute left. So I'm just going to say thank you, everyone who wrote in for the contest, who gave us permission, all the people who called in tonight, Faze, Phil, Pam, Bobby, and you guys just made this such a delight. We will be having another contest for Black Silk or Black Lace, Black Lace in about 2 weeks. So keep an eye out for that. It will be up here shortly. And just truly thank you, everyone. Be sure to check out the other shows that are going on, the contests. They're always posted in a topic in LNP. But until next time, everyone, have a great week, and thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Love the naughtiness.